Welcome to Explore Riverside Weekly, the show that explores all the things that makes the city of arts and innovation a great place to live, work, and play. I'm Greg Lee, and if you're a Riverside resident, then you should know the man we're going to have a conversation with this afternoon. When you flip that light switch on or off, turn on the faucet or hose, or power up that air conditioner on a hot summer day, it's this gentleman's talented group that ensures everything goes smoothly. I want to welcome Dave Wright to the show today. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Greg.
Well, Dave is a longtime City of Riverside resident. He was named the General Manager of Riverside Public Utilities in February of 2005 and oversees all electric and water operations for the City of Riverside. Dave has been with the City of Riverside since 1988 and previously served as a City Controller, as well as the utility's Chief Financial Officer and Deputy Director. Dave Wright has also been an active member of a variety of area professional and community organizations, including the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, the Orange Blossom Festival Board. I haven't heard that name in a long time, the Orange Blossom Festival. The Mayor's Multicultural Task Force, Community Health Corporation Board, and a number of other boards. In 2010, he was appointed by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to the state's Health Professions Education Foundation Board of Trustees. He's also worked as a certified public accountant, holds a BA and MBA from Cal State University Fullerton. So, Dave, do me a favor. Give us a history of Riverside Public Utilities and explain to our audience exactly where their power comes from.
Okay. Over 100 years ago, the founders of Riverside set up an electric and water utility so they could serve their own customers, essentially. So the citizens of Riverside would own their own water and electric utility. It was a great decision. Because of that, we now have lower rates than almost everyone around us for both electric and water. And we can kind of control where we're going to go, where our resources are coming from, how we're going to operate, what's important to the community. It just means our local city council can govern what they would like to see the utility be and help it develop to what they think is in the best interest of the city of Riverside, rather than looking at a broad area like most utilities that are looking at, you know, what's good for the state, you know, because what might be good for Northern California or San Diego might not be good for Riverside.
Now, why is it that we are able to have such low rates versus a territory such as Edison's?
Okay. Well, and Edison is great. It's a business. I mean, it's like any business. They're in business to make money and provide a dividend to their shareholders. And again, this is in no way negative on any for-profit investor-owned utility. It's just we're a government agency. We aren't in business to make a profit. We're in business to just meet our expenses, kind of like a nonprofit agency. So that's part of the reason that we're able to keep our rates lower is just because we're operated at a kind of a zero-sum game. Revenues equal expenses, and it helps keep rates lower.
You know, I was at a presentation that you made this morning, and for you, you said it's all about rates. That's what it comes down to, making sure that the residents, your customers, have the best rates available.
It is, because we obviously have to meet the needs of safety and reliability and high quality water. But we also have to make sure our rates are lower. That's one of the benefits of being in Riverside, is to pay lower electric and water rates. And it's, I consider it an economic development tool. So I really do see one of my primary goals and responsibilities of keeping the rates as low as possible and making sure that they're lower than the surrounding communities so that we can attract people here. And there's a big benefit from living or working or locating your business in Riverside.
And it's not just about rates as well. If there's a business owner out there, it's also about reliability.
Exactly. And reliability means every time you turn on the light switch, the lights come on. And every time you turn on the faucet, water comes out, and that it's safe. So our key, kind of the key portions of what we do are the low rates, the high reliability, and a benefit to the community. We need to make sure that it benefits the community from having us here. Because if it doesn't, if we can't provide lower rates, if we can't provide high reliability, there's no reason for Riverside Public Utilities to be in existence.
And so where does the power come from?
So we get our power from a number of different resources. We think of it as a portfolio, and you want a bunch of different investments. Only our investments are in power. And we want to make sure we have a vast portfolio, so if something happens to one of the investments, we still have plenty of power. We get power from some coal power from Utah, which is winding down because we want to get out of coal. We get some nuclear power from Arizona and Southern California. We get wind power from out by the desert. We get geothermal power from out by Salton Sea. We get natural power from natural gas. Most of that is local, though some of that comes from other places. We have agreements where actually we've shipped power up to the state of Washington in the winter when they have a peak. They ship power down to Southern California in the summer when we have our peaks. So we have power from all over the Western United States and from a bunch of different resource types so that we're covered in case one of those units goes down.
Well, speaking of units going down, Riverside hasn't had a unit that went down, but recently it's been in the news quite a bit. Earlier this year, Edison announced the closure of the San Onofre Nuclear Generation Station due to maintenance issues. Now, Riverside owns a small percentage of the plant as well as gets a small percentage of its daily power from that. What immediate and long-term effects does this closure have on our power supply?
It's a great question, Greg. And a lot of our customers weren't aware that we own about 1.7%, so a tiny little bit of the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station. And we often refer to that as SONGS because that's the abbreviation. But we get that power from there. And our plan was to get power from there for the next 10 to 20 years. So when that went down, we knew there were some alternatives we had to look at. And it went down a year and a half ago. At that point, we just started looking at some of the short-term alternatives. And because of the market, we were able to replace that with mostly natural gas power that really doesn't have any impact on our rates because that power right now is so inexpensive. So that was nuclear power. Nuclear, there's a lot of different opinions. From an environmental standpoint, the power production is produced with very little greenhouse gases. So it's considered a clean power for greenhouse gas. It does leave some waste fuel, and that's a different end of the spectrum. But when that went down, we started looking at short-term replacements. And then when Edison announced it was going down permanently, we looked at long-term replacements. Though I'm really proud of my staff, about a year ago, they started looking at both. And they started looking at long-term replacements a year ago, and we've started that process and, in fact, have locked in some long-term power supply already to replace the San Onofre power.
Well, that actually goes into my next question. I saw a press release that talked about a historic power agreement for the geothermal power out in the Salton Sea. What is that agreement? What is geothermal? Okay.
Geothermal, it's kind of interesting. There's hot water in the ground. Sometimes power is so simple. It's hot water. You take the hot water. You use the heat from the hot water to create electricity through a turbine. Then you take the hot water, because by then it's a little cooler, you stick it back in the ground where it heats up, and it just happens over and over again. So you go to a location where essentially there's a lot of groundwater that's heated up. Think of it like Old Faithful. That's essentially geothermal power. The water gets really hot, and there it goes out of the ground. So there's a lot of geothermal power down by the Salton Sea, and we've had some power down there for about 10, 15 years. But as soon as San Onofre went down, staff started looking towards more geothermal, and we've actually signed an agreement that's several decades long that ramps up the amount of power we get from geothermal. And the great thing about geothermal power is it's renewable. So it's a renewable energy just like solar, wind, or other renewables. And so we've signed the agreement. And as that power ramps up, it's going to take a lot of the capacity, we call it, or a lot of the power that we are obtaining from San Onofre, and it's going to replace it with renewable energy from the Salton Sea, which is geothermal.
Now, you mentioned that geothermal is a good baseline.
Yeah, it's called baseload. Wind and solar are great renewable resources. You can only get wind when the wind's blowing, though, and you can only get solar when the sun is out. And so we call those peaking or intermittent resources because it's not 24/7. Baseload is what geothermal is, and baseload means that power is available 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week. You get power no matter what's happening. So we call that baseload, and baseload is a big portion because, you know, whether it's night or day, there's power being used, and you need base load to supply those power demands.
Now, speaking of renewables, there's a renewable portfolio standards is out there, which is mandates 33% of utilities power comes from renewable sources by 2020. Where is the public utilities in meeting that mandate?
Okay. That mandate comes from the state. However, Riverside Public Utilities adopted their own renewable portfolio standard almost a decade before the state required it. And we are currently at more than 20% renewable resources. Our goal was 20% by 2010, 25% by 2015, and 33% by 2020. So we're already above 20%, moving to 25% within the next couple of years. And we are absolutely going to meet our goal. And we will truly have 25% within a couple of years and 33% by 2020.
So that's even more impressive for the Salt and Sea Agreement, because not only did it give us more power, but it helped meet our renewable portfolio as well, correct?
It did. And in fact, we're looking at some more geothermal because it's such a good resource that we're looking at perhaps ramping some more of that in the latter part of this decade as we get closer to 2020.
Even though you said those the power plants for that is pretty nasty and pretty ugly, right?
Well, they're just ugly. It's geothermal is water, and it seems when you go out and look at a geothermal plant, the whole thing looks like it's rusty. Everything is brown. So they're not the nicest looking plant, but it's great. Those plants create a great benefit to the state of California and Riverside specifically, because it's basically no greenhouse gas emitting renewable resources.
And we don't have to worry about it because we don't have any in the city, right?
True.
Well, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we come back, we will continue our conversation with Riverside Public Utilities General Manager David Wright.
An important message about summer electric use from Riverside Public Utilities. It's summertime in Southern California, and the heat is on, so Riverside Public Utilities has an important message. Riverside Public Utilities is asking customers and all Southern Californians to partner with their electric utility company by helping them to save energy. Southern California receives its power from many sources, but in the summer months, when temperatures can reach extreme levels, it presents a big challenge to utility companies to provide sufficient power to its customers. When temperatures rise, so does energy use. That's why it's even more important to be a power partner working together to save energy. In Riverside, we are fortunate to have reliable power sources for our customer-owned utility, Riverside Public Utilities. For more information on being a power partner, visit Riverside Public Utilities' website at riversidepublicutilities.com. Riverside Public Utilities. Water. Energy. Life.
AM 590. The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to Explore Riverside Weekly. I'm Greg Lee, and we are talking with my guest, Riverside Public Utilities General Manager Dave Wright. So, Dave, California has made a strong push for solar, and RPU has really done its part with its own solar portfolio. In fact, earlier this year, RPU announced solar projects in Riverside actually topped 6 megawatts. With that said, you stated that solar is good, but it's really not the answer to everything. It's not the silver bullet. What is it do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, solar is a great resource. It's a resource, and it's definitely part of our overall portfolio to reach as high a level of renewables as we can. But solar only works during the day. Unless there's a battery backup somewhere and that technology really hasn't been perfected, you only get solar when the sun's out. And as soon as the sun goes behind clouds, you've got to have a different resource to back up that power. So solar's wonderful, and I'd like to see every rooftop covered with solar and some big projects, but we're still going to need power that we can rely on, that baseload kind of geothermal power, other kind of power that doesn't have some of those intermittent issues that you don't have to worry about, is the sun going to not be out today or go behind the clouds. So solar is a definite part of our resource mix. We love solar. We've had some of the highest rebate levels in the state of California. Again, I'd like to see every rooftop with solar, but it isn't going to meet all of our demand. So we have to look at other resources as well. Again, wind is a great resource, but again, wind, when it's not blowing, you don't get any power. And the hottest day of the year, we don't get any wind because the wind isn't blowing. Mm-hmm. So we look at a whole portfolio, and what's great about the electric utilities, you get to look at all these and figure out how you put them all together to create a great portfolio that provides all the power that you need.
So it's just like a well-managed stock portfolio. You've got a little bit of everything to manage the ups and downs.
Right. You don't want to invest all your money in one single thing. You want to invest it in a whole bunch of different things because that's the safest way. And we're very risk averse, meaning we want to always make sure we got plenty of power to provide our customers every second of the day.
Any large solar projects out in the future?
We do. We're currently investigating two. One is on what's called the Tekaskeet Landfill, which is essentially an old landfill that's near the Santa Ana River that was capped and closed a couple decades ago. And we're looking at how to create a kind of beneficial use for not only that as a landfill, but that we can put solar on top. And we're just finishing an agreement to add about 5 megawatts of solar power on the Tekaskeet landfill. We've just signed two agreements that are a little bit more remote out in the Lancaster area, Palmdale area, and then another one out by Diamond Valley Lake near Hemet that are very big 25 megawatt solar projects. And we're also looking at another one on some land that we own near Riverside that would be a 10 megawatt project. So our peak is about 600 megawatts. So if you kind of add up everything, I said, we're looking at about starting to approach 15% of our power needs with solar. Why that makes sense for Riverside is we peak during the summer afternoons when everybody's air conditioning is running. So that solar power is essentially the most consistent and reliable in the summer, in the afternoon, because it doesn't rain and get too cloudy here in Riverside in the summer afternoon.
Not much.
So we're going to get a lot of power at the time we need it. And again, that helps. It's really environmentally responsible, helps reduce greenhouse gases, makes Riverside a very green city.
Now, a megawatt powers how many households?
A megawatt of power on average is about 500 households. In the winter, it's about 1,000. In the summer, it's about 200 to 300 because the air conditioning. So we kind of use the 500 level. So if you think about right now, the 6 megawatts that we have locally, you know, that is hundreds of households worth of power. And then the amount that we're going to ramp in, you know, about 15% of our portfolio, it's 70, 80, 90 megawatts. That's a lot of power.
Now, in the past, solar has been a pretty expensive source of power.
Correct.
Are you seeing it come down?
We saw it come down, and mostly that had to do with the recession. Mm-hmm. So what we're really kind of looking at on pins and needles is it going to go back up now that we're coming out of this recession, or was that a permanent impact to the solar industry and they learned how to reduce cost for production? And we're not sure which, but the cost of solar has almost been cut in half over the last 5 to 6 years.
Well, looking forward, you mentioned 5 to 6 years. Let's look ahead 5 to 10 years. What challenges and opportunities do you see RPU facing?
Well, challenge that we're meeting is how to shift from a lot of fossil fuel sort of resources, coal and natural gas, to a much more environmentally responsible portfolio. And we are a leader in that. So we do have some coal power. We are on a ramping down. You know, we're going to try to get out of that. We still have a mortgage, if you will, on our share of that plant. But as that's paid off, we'll be getting out of coal and we'll never invest in that again. And we're looking at some natural gas, but natural gas is one of the cleanest fossil fuels there is. And again, then shifting over to low or no greenhouse gas emitting resources. And so our challenge is not so much getting those resources, but being the smartest kind of at the table so that we get those resources at the lowest possible price. And I've got to be honest, staff is great at that. I've watched them negotiate our power contracts. They ask for the best deal, and when it's almost done, they ask for it to be just a little better. And they've been successful, and we have had some of the lowest cost renewable resource contracts in the state. So I'm really proud of staff, and Riverside should be grateful and proud of the power resources staff that we have.
But actually leads into my next question about the organization as a whole, because, I mean, you guys have received tons of accolades and awards. Your bond rating is high. Really, what do you attribute the success to RPU? Is it the staff, as you said?
It truly is the staff, and we have a great team. And, you know, there's a lot of places that have a great team, but we have a great team, and then we also spend specific days saying, where are we going? Where do we need to go? What do we need to be successful? So we call them strategic planning sessions, and everybody has various names. Our strategic planning sessions are much more focused. They occur every 6 or 7 months. I get the entire management team of about 35 people in a room, and we in a very quick period of time, about 6 hours, set a work plan for the entire utility to have us jump ahead significantly every 6 months. So we're not reactive, we're very proactive, and everybody is working from the same document to the same set of goals. And then at the end of that 6 month period, we look and see what's been done. So you do the planning, you assign a person, you're held accountable, you move forward. And it has been so successful, and I am very proud of our awards. I'm more proud of the actual work. Awards are recognition for the work that's been done, and it's the work that's important, because we all exist and know this for the benefit of all of our customers, and because we have an obligation to all of those customers to do the best we possibly can. And it's felt throughout the whole organization.
We talked about opportunities. You mentioned challenges. What opportunities are actually out there for the public utilities?
So some that we've taken already, which is, again, kind of interesting, and customers might not know this. So we not only do what's called scheduling and power planning for Riverside, but we actually provide services to a number of other utilities in the area to help them essentially plan all their power needs. And it's called scheduling, to set what are their needs tomorrow and the next day. And the
now,
day
are these
after.
Two municipally owned utilities
there
as well?
Other municipally owned utilities, yes. So we're not only providing a benefit to Riverside, but we're providing that benefit to other municipal utilities. And because we can do that, it actually helps reduce our costs. So we're always looking at kind of the mutual benefit. Can we help someone else? But it has to help our own customers first. And by helping our own customers, I consider that, does it make us more reliable? Does it reduce our rates? And we're always looking at that kind of opportunity, be it serving others or creating an economic development opportunity for businesses maybe looking to move to the city of Riverside.
Well, I know you talk about serving others. I was at the local tree shop. What do you call those?
Ice cream store, candy store.
No. Where you buy trees. Nursery.
Trees.
Thank you.
I thought you said treat.
No, I'm sorry. Nursery. I was at the local nursery. And it was the last day of the shade tree program. So I know many of you listening ran out because I probably bumped into you. Talk about the shade tree program and really, you know, what is the benefit of that?
I love the shade tree program. And I have to admit, and staff knows, it's my favorite program because it not only helps the customer if they plant a tree near their house, when that tree grows, it casts shade on the house and reduces energy demand in the summer, in the afternoons. And that's the primary goal. And it works. But there's a great secondary goal, and it makes the city of Riverside look beautiful. I am so happy. That program has been in existence about 13 or 14 years. This year, we surpassed 13,000 trees that were given away. And to put that in perspective, we have 100,000 residential customers. That meant 13% of our residential customers this year planted a tree. Over the last, 13, 14, 12, number of years it's been, we planted over 130,000 trees through that program. I shouldn't say we, the citizens have, the customers have, but we've provided those free trees to the customers. So imagine Riverside today has 130,000 more trees because of that program, casting shade on our homes and businesses, reducing peak air conditioning demand. And boy, it looks beautiful when you see those crepe myrtles blooming or the magnolias growing, or any of those trees around town, you can see and feel the benefits of that program.
Well, I felt the benefit that day when the line was out the building at the local nursery. I've got about a minute left here. I just want to congratulate you because in May you were selected to serve as the president of the California Municipal Utilities Association. Real quick, what is the role of that organization and what does that mean to you?
Okay. Mostly the organization represents electric and water utilities that are a municipal type utilities throughout the state and helps us speak with one voice in Sacramento. Riverside by itself equals about 1% of the load in the state from an electric standpoint. But when we gather all together, all of the municipal utilities equal about 25% of the load. So when we can go to Sacramento and say, hey, 25% of our state in the electric industry feels this, or the same type of thing in the water industry. So when we gather together, we can carry our message much better. I was so proud that my peers selected me. I mean, that it just made me really feel good about what Riverside's image is in the state, that Riverside was looked at to lead the organization. And I just see it as a reflection on all of my staff and what a great city Riverside is.
And it gives us a stronger voice.
It does give
us. In Sacramento as well. Well, I want to thank Dave for coming on the show. This is all the time we have for this edition of Explore Riverside Weekly. Dave, thanks again for coming on. Make sure you tune in to Explore Riverside Weekly every Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. I also want to pitch Riverside Public Utilities website, greenriverside.com. The show is brought to you by the City of Riverside. You can also now visit us on iTunes. So just head over to the iTunes store and search for Explore Riverside Weekly.